Show. Keeping your money safe and secure, giving you predictability. Have the retirement you deserve with our Safe Money Strategy. All the financial news you need, we're here to help you succeed on your Safe Money Show.
Welcome to your Safe Money Show, the show that helps you plan for and thrive in your golden years. I'm your host, Todd Schoberg, and today we're diving into 12 things you need to know pre and post retirement. I touched on these last week. We didn't get very far, but I'm going to do a recap. But before we get into the recap and to all the meat of the show, I want to welcome my co-host, Tony Shore. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Todd Schoberg. Great to be here with you. I am excited about the show today. There's so much going on, and I know you've been so busy. I'll try to keep you awake throughout the show. You've been burning the candle at both ends lately, haven't you?
Yeah, we have, and I'm happy to do it because it's a year of remembrance of an insurance company that's going out of business, and we have to meet all of the current customers and clients of mine to make sure they have a Medicare supplement plan or Advantage plan or cost plan or whichever is best for them, and the perfect Part D that keeps all of their drugs in a formulary so that they have the limits of $2,100 so they don't go broke because of their medical bills. But otherwise, I haven't been doing anything.
Well, yeah, and we can say it. UCare is going away. Both my parents had UCare, and the facility where they're at recommended that to them because they said that one was the best for them to work with, and they've had it for years, and now it's just going away. Poof. So if you're listening out there and you're on UCare for your Medicare Advantage plan, you better get that fixed and taken care of if you haven't already.
Absolutely. I've actually had some people come in just walking off the street and asking me, what do you, Todd, do you think I need to do anything next year? And they're carrying the envelope that says UCare is canceled. They haven't opened it yet, but they stopped in and asked me what they needed. I said, yes, we must have an appointment with you this year.
Yeah, you might want to go ahead and open
that. Is done. Yes, open your mail, please.
Yeah. They had a really good deal, too. I mean, they provided, at least my parents liked the plan they had. So I think a lot of people did have UCare.
And, oh, yeah. I mean, we had a lot of clients. I mean, I don't even have a number on me, but they had a lot of ancillary benefits. And ancillary is a big word for dental, vision, hearing, exercise. You name it. They gave you bonuses for doing all of those things. And it was a real asset for a lot of people to be able to take those debit cards and get things done that they normally wouldn't have done probably. But there are some answers out there, and you need to talk to your local agent or make an appointment with me so you can get the plan that's right for you. And to be honest with you, they're all good. They're all licensed in the state of Minnesota, but everybody's a little bit different, and you need to fit your niche into the plans that are available for you, your county, your network. I mean, there's so many things we need to look at when we're making a plan for you. You really got to be careful because this is your one chance to get a new plan. And if you're out of UCare, you can get an Advantage plan, a cost plan, whatever's right, or you can go back to original Medicare, or you can add a supplement with that, and you didn't have that opportunity before. So make sure you take that opportunity. It sounds like a sales position there opening, but be honest with you, you really need to take your time and look at the whole picture.
And I think that's really important. So now I know you've been busy. I've been busy, but it's that time of year, love fall. You want to talk some more about things we need to know before and after we retire. There's 12 key things, and I think we only got through the first three, like you said last week.
Three or four. Let me give you a quick recap on that.
Sure.
The number one was we need to start early in retirement. You know, you can't wait till you're 5 weeks before you're going to retire. You got to start as early as you possibly can. Number two is you got to create a retirement budget. You need to know what your expenses are going to be and what your liabilities are going to be so that you can match up your cash flow with those bills and make sure you're figuring in some interest and inflation. The third thing we talked about last week was diversifying your investments. You need to do this in pre-retirement, and you need to do this when you retire. Make sure you're spreading your investments out with fixed and guaranteed and maybe some stocks, bonds, whatever that is, but you have to have a plan that fits you for your specific needs. So you may have risk tolerance that you should be dealing with. You need to know what you can sleep at night, but make sure you're getting the growth you need
right
for the inflation on that also, and diversify your safety net.
Well, people need to be diversified. You can't have all your eggs in one basket. I was talking to somebody and they said, maybe I should sell all my stocks in my 401k and IRA and just buy gold. And I'm like, you mean you want to buy gold at an all-time high and give up all that compounding interest? I don't think that's a good idea. But, you know, should you have some invested in precious metals? Maybe. But gold is more volatile than the market is. I mean, you think the market's volatile.
Oh, man. And then that's what we're talking about every week here, is having a comprehensive financial plan for your retirement.
Yeah.
It's in writing. You know what's going to happen today. You know what's going to happen down tomorrow. And you have room if the market crashes or the market peaks. Whatever it does, you have a plan and you can wiggle and waggle to get the right thing done with the money you have so that you can have that sleep insurance so you know where you're going. And a lot of people use my safe money strategies for that. They put a set amount in a safe money strategy. They know at a certain point what that's going to be worth and what kind of pension you're going to get out of that you're going to have that income the rest of your life. So you have to have that comprehensive plan. You got to have your documents. You got to do all that stuff before you retire so you know where the end game is.
Yeah. And since we started the show talking about Medicare, healthcare and retirement is going to be a big one for those who aren't yet 65 and aren't there, or maybe you retire before 65, then it's even more important. But you've got a plan for healthcare costs. And I think we may have touched on it last week, but let's recap that a little bit, because that's one of the biggest, I think, that people overlook, because they assume, well, I'll have Medicare. I don't need to plan for healthcare costs in retirement.
Yeah, but Medicare doesn't cover everything. Think about dental, vision. Yes, absolutely, there's cost to it.
Well, the three main things you need as a senior: hearing, vision, and dental. How can Medicare, which is for seniors, not cover the three biggest main problems we have when we get old? Our sight starts to go, our hearing goes, and dental, teeth work.
Yeah, they just seem it's part of retirement. No, it's not. You can take care of those things. You can get glasses. You can get hearing aids. You can get your teeth fixed.
Yes.
Yes, there's still costs there. As a matter of fact, I think the number is a person 65 years old today might need to spend as much as $300,000 for healthcare costs in retirement. And the way they're going up, I had a client today that came in. They had a drug that it's not on any formulary that they need, and it's $1,716 a month.
What?
And I'm still working on it because I'm going to have to go to a special pharmacist to figure out a way that I can get that discounted down for him through a grant program or whatever.
It's not on a formulary that
I couldn't
insurance
find
covers?
Any insurance company that would have that particular drug on a formulary.
It's crazy.
A asthma drug that's supposed to help like inhalers, but it's a pill form. But I spent about 3 hours this morning trying to find that out. I called the pharmacies. I've called the company itself to see if they had any grant programs. I can't find any help for him as we speak. I will report to you next week if I do happen to find it.
No, I'm
and then
curious.
If I do, I'll tell you the name of the drug because I don't want to scare anybody
out
there.
Well, if you can call pharmacies and talk to the pharmacists, you would think they would know, okay, let's look up in our system. Oh, that we do sell that, and that is covered by this insurance company, has covered it in the past. You'd think they'd be able to find that information for you.
I have a meeting set at 6:45 tomorrow at the pharmacy. But
is that in the AM?
That's in the AM because they're busy too. So
you know, my clock doesn't even have AM. That's what I tell people. 6:45 in the AM. That's sleepy time right there. Like I said, you've been burning the candle at both ends. Look at you. What you do for your clients. That's what I try to tell the listeners out there, is you want to work with somebody, a trusted financial professional who's going to go the extra mile? Look at what you're trying to do for this person to help them get the coverage they need for this expensive medicine. And yeah, I wish it wasn't so convoluted. If we had a health program, like if Medicare just said we'll cover all drugs up to this much, and they just, you know, maybe you input a drug and they get back to you a week later, here's what we'll cover from this. Certain drugs will cover less, but there's just, if it's not on the formulary, you're kind of out of luck, aren't you?
It's like buying drugs from another country because it doesn't count towards your maximum out of pocket. So it's just there. But if you're a doctor out there, I'm going to make you mad right now because I know you don't look up the cost of the drugs when you give a prescription. You give it for the better of the patient.
Right.
But there's got to be a mix there. There's got to be a mix there. And that's all I'm going to say, because I know I have some clients that are doctors.
Oh, sure.
And I don't want them throwing arrows at me. So, but anyhow, that's really important. And HSAs, of course, are always important if you're getting into retirement. If you have an HSA from your work days, to bring that in and use those responsibly, and that'll help. So we're back to last week's deadline, or where we stopped last week. So we're going to move into understanding your Social Security.
Okay.
And this is a big one. You can't start claiming your Social Security at age 62. That's when you can start. Do I recommend that? Usually not. Because if you wait until your full retirement age, which is 66 or 67, depending on your birth, that means a bigger monthly check. A bigger monthly check, about 8% a year, you're gaining on that dollars. And don't think about today. Think about tomorrow. Think about what your increases on that amount will be in your retirement years and how much bigger it will be in 5, 10, 15 years from now. That's what you need to look at. If you delay till age 70, of course, that's the last hurrah. You need to take it then because it's not going to increase. But you'd have to know your numbers. You really need to look at what those are. I mean, if you're hating your job, I mean, you absolutely hate your job and you can't take it anymore. I understand it. Or if your health is fading, or if you're financially independent and that's just an added thing, then don't worry about your Social Security. But you have to do those numbers and you need to know what and how to protect your spouse if you die.
Some people just file at 62 because they'll get more checks that way, but they leave their spouse in a worse situation.
Yeah, because
their spouse has a lower.
You know, you can tell me that. We've talked about that enough.
Yeah.
You can tell me what happens with the spouse. I die, my spouse gets.
Yeah, the higher of the two checks.
Amen.
But if your spouse, let's say women typically outlive men, and let's say your spouse took off to raise kids or have kids, maybe they didn't work as long or earn as much. Well, their Social Security amount's going to be lower to begin with. And if you file early and don't wait to file until at least your full retirement age, you're taking like a 30% hit, and they're going to get, you know, that might be a little more than what they get, or they might get even more than that. You want to maximize your Social Security so you leave your spouse in a good situation, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I couldn't have said it better myself, but I've seen it happen. Time and time again, I've been doing this for.
Well, you did say it. That's where I got it. You talk about it all the time, Tom.
But I've been dealing with that issue and seeing that for 30 years now.
Firsthand, you see that.
Yeah, a husband dies. You know, he dies at 63 or 64.
Yeah, women outlive men 6 to 8 years. What are you doing to your spouse if you don't plan together with these things?
Yeah, you got it. Because at 84 years old, think about what she's going to have. You know, and if you're dropping that 30%, she's going to live in poverty.
Yeah, because
otherwise she's going to meet a rich man and run off in the sunset. But that doesn't happen very often either.
Right. And also, when a spouse passes, your bills don't get cut in half. That's the problem.
No, they don't. It takes
you lose half
90%.
Your Social Security income or more, but your bills don't go down by that much. That's the problem. So you have to maximize your Social Security. Like you say, for some people, it will be take it at 62. For a lot of people, it'll be 67 or 70 or somewhere in between. Everybody's different. Don't just file at 62 because that's what you heard is the thing to do and you'll get more checks that way. You might end up with a lot less money if you do that. You never know. It could be even hundreds of thousands of dollars less over the course of a lifetime, right?
Absolutely. And that's why people come and see me, because they get a comprehensive written plan for themselves. And I know people are just waiting to hear how to get a hold of me. And I'm going to give you my phone number now.
Sure.
It's 855-22-MONEY. That's 855-226-6639. Call me for no obligation. There's no obligation to come and sit down with me, and I will help you write that comprehensive plan.
Yeah.
If you need documents, I have an attorney on staff here. They can help you, but get the help you need. It's something, even if you've done it yourself, put it in front of me and I'll give you my opinion on it and see, yes, that works great. And I've had that happen many, many times where people just show me, Todd, am I doing the right thing here? Is this what you do? Or is what would you do? So they get a second opinion. And most of the time it's just fine. But isn't it nice to know that you have that and you can walk down that road till death with somebody that's done it time and time again? You know, you can also go to my website, yoursafemoneyshow.com. You can look at past shows. You can go to and see my booklets there. I got Medicare booklets, insurance booklets, life insurance. So there's things there and resources that you can get, but you have to be the motivator. You have to get there. You got to do it yourself. I can't go on there for you or order it. Otherwise, you can just stop in my office at 139 South Union, right down beautiful Mora, and just walk in and have a cup of coffee. Right now, we got the cookie trays are full because we're seeing so many people through here. And they are homemade, by the way.
Oh, wow. You got homemade cookies.
That's Katie has a friend that's a baker, and she brings in every other day a batch of brand new fresh cookies. And the coffee's always on. So stop in and see us.
Downtown Mora is the place to hang out.
But moving back into our list, we kind of have a good grasp on our Social Security. It's not just something you do on a whim. You need to know your numbers.
And don't and just do what your brother-in-law did or your buddy at work did or your neighbor or your best friend.
I hate to say that, but I had a client in this morning, and the first thing he said was, my brother said this, and my neighbor said this.
I love those, don't you?
And then after you settle them down on that, well, I watched a YouTube video.
So, YouTube, the neighbor, and are those people, do they get to know you and your situation and your personal time horizon and where you're at? And they know, you have to know all that to actually answer these questions. You can't just, oh, you got to do this then. No.
Yeah, he lives in Minneapolis. You live in Kennebec County.
Yeah.
You know, that alone says they don't know what they're talking about because the plans are completely different. You got to do what's right for you, and you got to know what's right for you. Because
it's the same way with the Medicare policies. It varies by zip code, these Advantage plans and things you can get. So you got to. Yeah, you can't do the same thing in Minneapolis or in Winona as you do in Mora. You're probably in a different situation. So what's the next one? The next one's pay down debt, right?
Yes. High interest debt like credit cards or personal loans. That can drain your retirement savings down so quickly. That is probably the biggest thing post-retirement or pre-retirement. It can keep you from putting money away for your retirement, or it can take your principal away to pay those debts off. So you really need to get your debt under control. Don't let it snowball. You got to have a strategy. Make sure you have the big ones paid off before you retire. Even if you have to work an extra year, please, please, please get that debt down to where you can handle it real easily. And it's more of a pleasure to pay a bill than a struggle. Then we go into what can mess that debt up is number seven is have a withdrawal strategy.
Okay.
This is crucial for retirees. A withdrawal strategy is how do you do that? What do I take out first? Do I use taxable? Do I use untaxable? If I just look at the whole picture, how much of that can I take out? We used to have what was called a 4% standard guideline rule that you could take out 4%. But that was back when we weren't living as long.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Withdrawal of 4% is okay, but you got to be flexible.
Times
maybe you're
going
to have to live on 2%.
Yeah.
It might be as low as 1.7. It might be 2.8 like our increase on our Medicare, our Social Security, excuse me. That's your increase this year for your Social Security payments. Can you follow the guidelines of what the government gives you in Social Security? I don't know. That's why you need a comprehensive plan that will guide you through that so that your savings last the rest of your life, or at least have money in a vehicle that will give you increasing income year in and year out that you can plan for. That's the only way you can have a safe, steady, sleepless night retirement plan. You know that you're going to have income the rest of your life. If it's a pension, if it's Social Security, if it's one of my save money strategies, whatever it is, you need to know what that is. That's how you can retire in comfort, and you can put money away and you have savings, but you have to have a withdrawal strategy and throw the taxes on top of it. You know, your IRAs or your 401ks, if you didn't start with a Roth early, that's all added income and that's all taxable. And how much of that is going to be? Do you need to start doing Roth conversions today so you have non-taxable income down the road? That's the things you need to be asking yourself when it comes to withdrawal strategies. It's not just, I'm retiring today. I have $500,000 in the bank. I'm 62 years old, and I'm going to start withdrawing my income. Remember, if your Social Security is a couple thousand dollars a month and you need another three, do the math. Subtract it from that $500,000. That's $36,000 a year. How long is that $500,000 going to last, even at a minimal or a maximum interest rate return? You need to know what that's going to be.
I think that's really important what you said, because it does matter when you take out money and from where. Your retirement income, that all has to be planned out, and it's gotten complicated. So you need to work with a trusted financial professional like yourself who can come up with strategies. You don't want to be pulling money out of the market when it's down. You're going to lose all that momentum and compounding interest. So you need to, again, be diversified, like your earlier point. What's the next one? So that's have a withdrawal strategy. What's next?
The next one is stay active and engaged.
Right.
Retirement isn't just about money. It's about living well. Stay active. Engage. Be engaged to maintain your health and happiness. Join a community group. Volunteer. Pick up a new hobby like gardening or painting. Find something you enjoy to do with other people. Not only does that being around other people make people feel good and live good, it also gives you a reason to get up in the morning. If you're just slumming around and you're not doing anything, loneliness sets in, depression sets in. But if somebody's still relying on you, whatever it may be, if it's a grandchild that needs you, if it's a volunteer job, you're still needed. You still have worth. You still have to get up in the morning to do something. That's how you have a long life, a full life, is by actively engaging in those types of activities, physically and mentally. I guarantee this, it will extend your life. And you need to find out what brings joy to you to make that happen. So pre or post, you have to have a plan. What are you going to do? What is your plan? Think about it.
Yeah. What are you going to do in retirement? Having a purpose. My grandfather lived to 101 and he was active through his 100th year. I mean, he was driving at 100. He went camping 3 months before he passed. He was a Renaissance man. He painted, he did quilting. He still worked out on the farm. And they asked him what his secret was. And he goes, don't stop, have a purpose. And that's how he did it. So stay active and engaged is also a huge one. So it's not always about finance. It's about having a purpose in retirement. You know, you can say, I'm going to golf every day in retirement, or I'm going to watch TV or read books. You're going to hit a wall pretty quick. You need more of a purpose and a reason to get up than those things. And those things are great. A couple times a week or for a while, but eventually you're going to hit a wall and you're going to need more of a plan than just, I'm going to golf every day. That's not a realistic plan for retirement.
And I do have friends that are doing that right now, but they were probably in county work or police work or something. And they're actually golfing a lot. I mean, four, five, six times a day.
Yeah.
But they're still in their early 50, I mean, late 50s,
yeah. Yeah.
58, 59, maybe 60 years old.
Yeah, when the back isn't always going to take that in the hips, yeah, right?
Well, I got arthritis in a thumbnail. I could hardly swing a club this summer. I mean, how do you know when you're physically not going to be able to do that? You have to have more than a tunnel vision for what you want to do. You have to have a lot of options. Don't let your wife make up that list either, because you'll really be active. We've been talking about that.
Yeah,
it's not 9 o'clock yet, so we're good. No,
you're good. All right. I was gonna say you're gonna be in trouble.
Yeah, well, I've been there before.
You're gonna be in the dog.
Honesty is the best, the best policy.
Yeah.
Oh man, I'm in trouble. Anyhow, stay active and stay engaged. And then here's one more. Number 9: protect your savings. Scams are targeting retirees every day. We're hearing about this. Think about phishing emails and fake investment schemes. Be skeptical. Number 1 rule: if it sounds too good to be true, it is. That's as simple of a rule as you can come up with.
Yeah.
If somebody's going to give you $100,000 because you won a drawing that you never entered,
yeah,
it's not right. You have to enter something to win.
Or if somebody says, I can, if somebody uses the guarantee word, if they use that word and they throw out specific high numbers that aren't realistic, like a 17% return on your money guaranteed for 10 years, you know, that's not, no, run from that, right?
Right. I just have to throw this little story in. I know we're running close to the end of the half hour, but I had a friend of mine call me and he says, Todd, can I get life insurance on somebody that I borrowed money to that I know I'm never going to get back? And he says, I had an investment.
It was a
person I knew, and he said I was going to get 25% back returned. Oh. He says it was good for about 6 or 8 months. He says, but then it went down the tubes and I haven't heard from him.
Yeah,
so he wants
it's called the Ponzi scheme.
Yeah. Yeah. He wants to take life insurance out on him so that he'll at least get his principal back.
Yeah.
Make sure you understand, even if it's somebody you know and trusted, if they tell you something that sounds too good to be true, number 1, get it in writing. Make sure you know what you're doing, or just walk away is my best idea for you today. But there are too many things out there that can eat up your money. The other thing, and I got to throw it in there today, is I got to keep your emergency fund going. You see these federal employees right now, they're running out of funds for food and everything else.
Isn't
you need to have 6 to 8 months of expense in a liquid account, and you need to protect that nest egg.
The government shutdown, don't get me started right now, Todd. I'm so angry about it. And it's not partisan. I think both sides need to get in there. And I don't think they should be able to, Congress should not be able to take a break during a government shutdown. In fact, they shouldn't let them leave the building.
I don't think they should leave the building myself.
And they can send in, you know, takeout. If they need it, but they should lock them in there. And
I wouldn't even give them a bathroom break.
Armed guards until they get it done.
Absolutely.
You know, don't get me started. I think we should all be writing our congresspeople and senators, letting them know you got to end this. Because boy, the federal employees are really starting to hurt, and the food banks are running low because that's a problem, you know, and people who rely on that. It's been a problem, and it's starting to become a worse problem.
Yeah, and if you want to do something until that happens, you can all go to the food shelf, start donating. If you always did it during the holidays to the food shelf, go there a little early, give a little bit more this year, because they're going to need it, and it's not going to get any better. The SNAP program's running out. The food shelves are running out. But if you want to do a feel good for yourself, that's the thing to do. So make sure you're helping out your neighbor. Keep an eye on your neighbor, too, if you know somebody in that situation. Go check on them. Maybe invite them over for dinner.
Sure.
But that's about all we got time for today.
Yeah, we're out of time.
And you know, if I can't prove it, don't do it. So I hope you have a wonderful weekend.
All right. Real quick, though, before we go, give that phone number one more time.
855-22-MONEY. That's 855-226-6639.
All right, and that does it for today's episode of Your Safe Money Show with our host, Todd Schoberg.
We're here to help you succeed on Your Safe Money Show.
Your Save Money Show is brought to you by Schobert and Holmstrom Financial Services in Mora, Minnesota. The agency is an independently owned and operated and is not affiliated with any other Save Money or government agency. Call the office at 855-22-MONEY, 855-226-6639 for your no-obligation appointment or visit yoursafemoneyshow.com.